Hasting or hastening?
Thank you, Brother Andy. The world is in a chaos. But you wouldn't know that by looking out the window. We're gathered today in a restive place and away from all of that chaos. Last night, I saw a news flash that said North Korea tested a hydrogen bomb. There are wars all over the world. In fact, I thought I saw it. No, I can't. I can't repeat how many nations, but I thought I saw a note somewhere that said just about every nation on earth is involved in a conflict, except maybe a dozen, one way or the other. There are wars everywhere. There are political wars. There are social wars. There's protests in the streets and riots, even in the Western world. There's climate abnormalities. So forget what humans are doing to themselves. Even the climate is not cooperating. There's excessive precipitation. There's excessive snow and rain. We saw that in California. We had a lot of destruction on. I work with the highway department. We had about $1 billion worth of damage in 2 months from excessive precipitation. Excessive heat. I've worked there 30 years. The highways buckled twice. One happened in June this year from excessive heat. There's even discord in fellowship. There's discord in fellowship, where even amongst the brethren, there's conflict. To say the end is near is an understatement. The end is near. Somebody agree with me? It's an understatement to say the end is near. What do we do about it? I guess is the question then. And as you would notice from the preceding discourses, there's a theme that's building up here. And the scripture that comes to mind is in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And it's been touched upon, the context has been touched upon already by both Brother Michael and Brother Andy. Starting with verse 10, we read, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat." Then going on to verses 13 and 14, we'll talk about that later also. It says, "But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless." Notice in verse 10, it talks about coming like a thief in the night. And we're familiar with this phrasing. It's a stealth move. It's a covert intention where it's unnoticed as to when the Lord returns. However, in that same verse, it says, "in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will melt with a hiss, with intense heat." Seems to me that's an obvious thing. When the earth is melting, when the heavens are melting and the earth is passing away with intense heat and things are getting burned up, you would think that would be noticeable. It's a contradiction in terms, it seems like. I think the scriptures are telling us to pay attention. He's going to come like a thief in the night. But at the same time, there will be this intense heat that's burning up the heavens and the earth is being burned up. Verse 11 has a very interesting word. It says, since then, it's Strong's 3767. Consequently, in other words, as a result of what you know, consequently, that's how verse 11 opens. Since then, since all these things are going to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you be? So there's a linkage between our understanding of what is happening and how we're perceiving it. and what we do about it. I think that's a connection the scriptures are making. And then in verse 12, it tells us what we could do about it. We can look for it, and hasten the coming of the kingdom. It's always been a bothersome text about hastening the kingdom. What do we do to hasten the kingdom? Our Lord said, nobody knows the day except the Father. But then scripture says, we hasten it. There must be something in there for us to figure out. When we look at the word hasten, it's Strong's 4692, it's spudo. And it's used, well, a couple of uses of the word is in Luke 19. This is where Zacchaeus, the little guy, was in the trees and was trying to catch a glimpse of God, of Jesus. And Jesus said, hurry down, or hasten down. And then he hastened down. So it's really a matter of, it's an action word, to hasten. Also, we're told in Acts 20, 16, that Paul was desirous to get to Jerusalem. He hastened to get to Jerusalem before the Pentecost. It's an urgent need of action, an intense desire for something to happen. So it's a very active proposition. But we always look past the opening of that 12th verse where it says, look for and hasten. We focus on the hasten because that seems to be something we can't do. But the looking for, we can. You can look for. And that's Strong's 4328. It's to expect with intensity. It's an active expectation. It's an active anticipation. Israel was expecting a Messiah. They were looking forward to a Messiah forever. And then when John the Baptist came, he was looking for a Messiah. In fact, he was so looking for a Messiah, when he heard about Jesus, he sent his messengers to go look, to go ask him, are you the one we're looking for? Matthew 11:3. Are you the one we're looking for? The same word there. So if you can imagine that expectation that the Jews had for a Messiah is the same expectation that's been put on this word in 2 Peter 3:12. We're to look for, not unlike the Jews were looking for their Messiah. We should be anticipating the day of the Lord and hastening the coming of it. To close, we know that the end is near. We know the how. We have a sense of what's going to happen. The kingdoms of this world will be destroyed, and then the kingdom will be set up. We have an understanding, intellectual understanding, of how that process will work. We don't really know when. Hence, we're told to watch. That's really what it is. There's an active watching that we're committed to. Peter says to hasten the coming of the day. In Ephesians 4, if you're wondering what it might mean to watch and look for, one way to look at it is in Ephesians 4, verse 14. It says, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from which the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. The hastening of the kingdom is really about the completion of the body of Christ. And each of us have something to do with it, as Ephesians 4, 14 through 16 tells us. To hasten the coming of the kingdom is to renew our efforts to study. It's to redouble our vigilance as we look to prophecy. It's to pursue holiness. It's to extend our patience. It is to intensify love. It is obviously to intensify our prayers. Going back to 2 Peter 2, chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, sort of gives us a sense. It will be 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 14. I want to come back to verses 13 and 14, actually. In verse 13, it says, but according to his promise, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Again, that same word, looking for, that anticipation, such as the Jews had for the Messiah. Then in verse 14, it says, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, assuming you're looking for these things, what is the state you should be found in? Tells us, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, spotless and blameless. May Lord add his blessings.